Well, if you're not in 1 Peter, I would ask you to turn there as we look at verses 22 of chapter 1 down to chapter 2, verse 2 or 3 there. And we're in this series, Acceleration. We're looking at different areas of spiritual growth in the New Testament. And obviously it's essential that if you're going to grow, you've got to have God's Word. So that's what we're going to look at today. How do we grow in grace? Through God's Word. We're meant to grow physically and spiritually. And the fact is, a good appetite for God's Word and regular meals, that's essential to growth. And that's a good sign of health. Like my grandmother used to tell me when I was younger, and I was a little bit heavier, not like now, but then, you know, she'd always say, hey, you're healthy. It's a good sign. You like to eat. You know, it's good. You want to eat. That's a healthy sign. Maybe she was just trying to encourage me there. But the point is, if we're truly Christians, we want to grow, don't we? And we have a hunger for God's Word. We want to become more like Jesus Christ. We've tasted, as Peter says, and seen that the Lord is good. We know of His love and grace more and more, and the impact that that can have and does have in our lives, our relationships, and in the church. And we want to grow through that. And we know that it comes through God's Word. The fact is, the only way you grow is through God's Word. And that's what we want to understand as we look at this passage today. Our growth into Christ-like maturity and Christ-like love through God's Word is at the heart of us making an impact in the world and us being different, us becoming like Jesus Christ, like we talked about this morning. And so we ought to want to grow, desire to grow. And the question is, do we really understand what true spiritual growth through God's Word is really all about? It's not just knowing the Bible and knowing facts. We've got to have that. It's deeper than that. It's a growing in a relationship with God in Christ, growing to become like Jesus Christ in our thinking and our feelings and our actions and attitudes. So what is spiritual growth? How does God's Word produce it? Well, as somebody said, spiritual maturity is becoming like Jesus. Jesus is the perfect model of that. Jesus wants us to learn to act and think and feel and respond to life the way He did. And so this is what God's Word helps us with. There's three main things I want us to look at here in this passage in 1 Peter about growing through God's Word. Number one is the pursuit of God's Word. The pursuit. Now, we're talking here about how do we come to God's Word in a sermon or Bible study, your own personal quiet time. Anytime you come to God's Word, what is the attitude you have? How do you come and approach God's Word so that you grow? What's the pursuit look like? What's the attitude, the mindset? Listen to these lame excuses of why somebody said they would never eat physical meals, and think about how that fits with excuses sometimes people make not coming to God's Word. Somebody might say, well, I was forced to eat as a child. Sometimes people say that about, you know, they've grown up in the church, you know, they don't want to come anymore. Or, you know, I used to eat, but I got bored and I stopped. How many would say that about not eating physical meals? Of course not. None of my friends will go with me or eat with me. Or, I'll start eating when I get older. You know, you ever hear people say that about the church? I'll start going later on and hear God's Word when I get older. But we would never say that about physical meals. Or, I don't believe eating does anybody that much good. You know, it's a crutch. But you realize how much, as a Christian, you've got to have God's Word. It's essential, absolutely essential to our growth. And just like those are silly excuses for not eating physical food, the excuses that Christians or so-called Christians might make for not coming to hear God's Word, for not coming to the Bible and reading it, are just as ludicrous. Because the only way we're going to grow, as Peter shows us, is through regular balanced meals from God's Word. Being nourished. And we're not just talking about coming to sermons. You got to have that. That's essential. But in your own personal time too. Your own Bible study. Your own coming to Bible studies at church. Somebody said a closed Bible does no one any good. Because just because it's sitting there on the shelf or on the coffee table. Or you picked it up a few months ago and read a little bit. Just because you pick it up and bring it on Sunday doesn't mean necessarily it's affecting your life the way that God designed it to. You got to understand why you read it and how it impacts your life and how you're to be nourished by it. And that's what we're talking about today. What's the attitude with which you come to the Word of God? The pursuit that's essential for growth of God's Word, through God's Word. What will advance our growth? What deepens our love and maturity? Well, it's the same truth, Peter says, that gave us new birth in the very beginning. It's that same gospel truth of grace that gave us new birth. That's what continues to nourish us. And that's the point that Peter is going to make here. The Christian, no matter what age they are physically, or how long they've been a Christian or in church, must have a certain mindset, an attitude of humility, an infant's desire, he calls it when he says, crave the pure milk of the Word. That desire for that nourishment and grace, that basic nourishment. We tend to look at the Christian life the wrong way. And coming to the Bible sometimes, like Mark Twain said one time, a lot of people are bothered by the passages of the Bible they can't understand. But for me, he said, I always notice the passages in Scripture that trouble me the most are the ones I do understand. What is your view when you come to God's Word? Now, there are some difficult passages in the Bible. We'll see that in Hebrews, especially, that are hard to interpret, no doubt. We need help in understanding those. And that's why you have teachers and pastors to help you understand that. But the reality is, in a lot of cases, we're not growing, not because we don't understand the meaning of it, but because we're coming to the Bible with the wrong mindset. And it's not being applied to our everyday life. I mean, when you see a Bible passage or a verse that tells you about respecting others, or like in this text, putting off malice, putting off deceit, we pretty well know what it means. We might need a little explanation, but it doesn't take a rocket scientist to know the meaning of when the Bible says love one another. The question is, are we really growing in that? And if not, why not? See, most people, they see this verse where Peter talks about craving the pure milk, and they think that's talking here about, because they look at other Bible passages and they bring it over and compare it, they think it's talking about the simple stuff in the Bible. That's not what Peter's emphasizing here, I don't believe, as I've studied it through the years. He's not talking about the simple stuff. That's not his focus here. Peter's not comparing milk in the Word and meat in the Word here. That's in Hebrews 5. That's in Corinthians, I believe, is the other passage. That's another sermon for another day. That's not Peter's main focus here when he talks about milk. As if the writer of Hebrews will say in chapter 5 when we get to that, you know, you need to go on to the meat. That's another sermon for another day. No, what Peter is focusing on here is he wants Christians to realize that they've got new life through this word of truth, through the gospel they heard. They're born again. They've got this new life. And that new life that we're given new birth from, or we have that new birth, it needs a certain kind of nourishment. And therefore, if we're going to be nourished by God's word, we come with it to it with a certain attitude. A certain mindset, of like a child, a baby craving the pure milk of the Word, a certain humility. Peter calls them to crave pure spiritual milk. See, you can have believers that have been in the church for many, many years. They're still called to crave the pure milk of the Word, what Peter's talking about here. It should be the staple of their spiritual diet. This idea of knowing the grace that we've been given, the grace that we've tasted in Jesus Christ, and we want to know more about the gospel. We want to know more about God's love in Jesus Christ. That should never go away for any Christian, no matter how long they're a Christian. And you won't grow without that desire, without that longing for that. Peter says the Christian is therefore to come with a certain mindset and attitude, like that baby craving its mother's milk. So that even the quote-unquote simple passages, God will work through those when we're hungry for it, when we come with the right mindset, as we're putting off these sinful things and craving the pure milk of His Word. It will change our lives. Even the so-called easier things, they're meant to be nourishment to us and transform us through grace and help us grow to become like Jesus Christ. See, like I said, it's not hard to understand what some of these things are, but the question is, are we growing them? This is not about new Christians needing milk and mature Christians need meat. That's another text, another sermon. This passage is about the Christian receiving the intended nourishment there to achieve the intended goal, which is spiritual growth and grace. Us becoming like Jesus Christ. Us growing to know the love of God in Christ. Becoming like Him in character and conduct. And growing together in love as the body of Christ. If you look at the whole context of which these verses are found. And that's why He says to crave the pure milk. To have that attitude. To know how much we need it. Somebody said, think about a baby. Once they have a taste for their mother's milk, they don't lose it. They know what's good for them instinctively, incessantly, and they go for it into their field. God's word is compared like this in the truths of grace we've been given in Jesus, of which we were saved through. It's like milk to a baby, sustenance of our spiritual life. And once we've tasted God's word, and we're to seek after Him, like craving pure spiritual milk, like a baby for its mother's milk. When you're truly a Christian, you have a new taste for grace. You've got a new taste for grace. You want to experience more of that life that you've been given. You've been born again. You want to grow through God's word. You want to spend time in the Bible. It shouldn't be something that just happens when a person first becomes a believer. And if you're not spending time in the Bible to seek the Lord and to really know Him, it's because probably at that particular point in time, you don't really think you need to know what He has to say to you or to change your life. If you're not craving the milk of the Word, it's probably because sinful attitudes like the ones mentioned here have gone unchecked. You've let them go. Pride has built up. And you think you've got your Christian life all kind of in check. And you're going the right way. But be careful, as the Bible says in other places, lest you fall. See, I believe God is saying the type of person who will grow through the Word, be changed through the Word, must be a humble person who comes with this attitude like a baby for milk of humility, saying, Lord, I know I'm imperfect. I know I'm saved by grace. Your grace has saved me, and Your grace alone and Your Word will continue to sustain me and change me. I've come to Your Word and tasted Your grace. I'm born again in You, but I need more of this nourishment. I need to know more of what You've given me in Christ, more of who I am in Jesus Christ, and the life that we have in Him. You can't come thinking, you know, when you hear a sermon or something in the Bible, well, Joe, you know, he really needs to hear this. You can't have that attitude while you're hearing the message, you know, you need to really get this, give him the elbow, you know, are you listening? Or I wish so-and-so was here. Now, we might think some of those things, but that can't be our main idea. You're not focused on somebody else. A baby craves milk because it's their life source. And that's why they crave it instinctively and eagerly. They act like they're dying, don't they, until they get that milk. A baby craves his mother's milk out of desperation. They have a sense knowing, in a way, they're dependent on it for life. And in a similar way, the child of God, no matter how old they get in the faith, ought to realize that. If they don't, there might be an issue. Their life has come by God's grace, totally of God. They're dependent on God who gave them life through His gospel, His word. And they know that's where they find their life, in the word alone. And so they crave it. Is that true of you? Are you craving the word of God like milk, like a baby does? Somebody said, Clowney, this guy, said, because God's love is the source of our love as believers, the message of His love found in the Word is what kindles our love more and more. Is that true of you? Because we know God is good, therefore out of that flows the goodness in His lives, in our lives, and we're putting off the old ways that are opposed to God's character and seeking more of the pure milk of His Word. What are some things that will help us, some truths to remember in this passage to help us in our pursuit of God's Word? Number one, remember who you are. Write that down. You're a child of God. You're born again by His gospel truth. A baby craves milk instinctively because it's their life source. They may not understand, of course, what it all involves and how it will help them grow, but even that baby senses who they belong to, where they came from, and how to eat. And who we are determines what we need to eat. We need the truths of grace. That's the point. We need to know about who we are in Christ. That's the pure milk of the Word. As God's children, we crave pure nourishment or truths of God's Word that match perfectly with who we are as God's children. Remember who you are. You're a child of God. Number two, remember what you need. Goes along with that. Because of who that baby is belonging to the parent and where that baby comes from, the life of the parent, and what it needs to become, it needs to grow up, it has to have the milk. Somebody said for an infant, milk is not a fringe benefit. Well, in a similar way, Christians only find the nourishment that'll truly develop us in God's Word, because it's only in God's Word that we find the answers to life, yes, but also that's where we find what's absolute. What is truth? When you come to be saved, you come to realize, I remember the light coming on for me when I first got saved and realizing this is the truth. I've been lied to all this time. And as a young college student, I had the truth. That's the word he uses here for pure milk. Absolute truth. We know that's what we need and we want to go and get it. And again, it doesn't mean that we don't mature from getting milk to meat. That's another sermon. And Peter would say that. Yes, we grow. But here we're talking about the staple of the Christian's diet. Knowing the truths of grace. We never get too old for that. Because we know that's how we're saved. It's by that grace. That's how we're nourished. That's the only way we grow. Those are the staple part of the diet that we've got to have is the milk of God's Word. And so we crave it. We want to grow. We know we only grow through it. And the question is, how do we grow? We don't grow by pulling ourselves up by our bootstraps, if you know what I mean by that. By trying to be better. I hope you understand that as a Christian if you haven't gotten that yet. By trying to do better as a Christian, be a better Christian by doing this, doing that. We don't crave religion. No, we've tasted the love and God of love and grace of God towards us, and we don't want to just know more about things that we can do on our own and our pride. We know that will go nowhere. We know it's His grace that saved us, and we hunger for more of that. We want to know more of that amazing love, and we only find it in His Word, His truth. And the third thing here that will help you, remember why you're fed. Why you're fed. Remember who you are, what you need, and then why you are fed. So that by drinking the milk, being nourished, we'll grow up and be set. We'll be fully saved. Now, Peter's not trying to bring salvation into doubt. He knows we have assurance. If we have this real life in us, we're going to grow. We're going to mature. But the Bible's clear that we are meant to grow more and more to become like Jesus Christ. And at the heart of that is getting into His Word. For a Christian, folks, remember, the Bible is God's love letter, as someone said to you and I. And so we come to His Word like that baby does for milk from its mother, depending on it, knowing that love and nourishment that's there. We do that with God's Word. We know that's where we grow to really know His love. That's where we grow to desire less of the things of the world. Less of those attitudes that Peter says to put off. We don't desire that because we know the great love that we have in Jesus Christ. And we come to the Bible with a new nature, a new life, and a new love for God and for others, especially Christians. And so we read the Bible with that mindset, knowing that's what we need more than anything. That leads me to the second main point. Not only the pursuit of God's Word, but here in 1 Peter 1 and 2, we see the pattern of God's Word. What we gain from God's Word. Not only the attitude of humility we come with, but the pattern. What do we gain? You know, if you see a little baby playing in the dirt, that baby could be dirty all over. You won't make a big deal about it because it's a baby. That's what babies do. They play in dirt. They try to eat it. They try to scrub themselves with it. To a baby, in a way, dirt is a toy. That's where they are. But if you go to your neighborhood and see a 25-year-old man out there in the dirt playing and rubbing himself with the dirt, trying to eat it, well, you know you got a problem on your hands. Right? He ought to know dirt isn't a toy. But sometimes you have people who've been Christians or say they are, for so many years and they keep playing in the dirt. They don't grow up. They play in sin and they seem to have fun in it. But Peter says we're not going to grow if we're coming holding on to the dirt and the old ways and attitudes that are even accepted by the world many times and very subtly accepted even by Christians. If we're not willing to come to His Word, having tasted and seen His grace, putting off those things and craving the pure milk of the Word. In fact, 1 Peter 2 verses 1 to 2, that is one sentence, one long sentence in the Greek language. And the main verb is craving the pure milk of the Word, but it's attached to the idea of as you're putting off these old attitudes. You're craving. You can't have one without the other. You can't come to God's Word listening and think somehow that dirt is what we're supposed to be playing in. And think we're going to grow. Now, we're all in a process, but the word Peter uses here for ridding ourselves of these relational sins is that of taking off soiled clothes in the Greek. You take off the old habits. It's like you take off that soiled clothing you've worked in and worn it for weeks and it's torn up and it's ready for the rubbish bin. And that's the picture here. As we as Christians have tasted the grace of God's love in Christ that is changing our lives, we want to take those old clothes off more and more. We know we're clothed in the righteousness of Christ. And we don't want those old attitudes. These are subtle attitudes, aren't they? That can be there sometimes in Christians' lives. Other people don't see them right away. They're hard attitudes, these sins that he talks about. But we've got to understand the seriousness of them and knowing what we are in Christ if we want to grow. And it's only as we're willing to shed more and more those old habits as the Spirit works in us that are inconsistent with His love and who we are in Christ, that then we're going to begin to develop a new mindset and grow in Christ and have new attitudes as we see that new life working in us that's true of His Word. And then the right habits begin to develop more and more. See, Christians a lot of times need to do some weed eating before they can do true eating of God's truth and the grace that truly nourishes us. Like the story I read about years ago of a general in the Australian Army by the name of Peter Cosgrove. He said he was a chief of the Australian Defence Force at the time, and in his autobiography he tells about his first tour of duty as a lieutenant in Vietnam. His first post was at a base near the village of Dap Do, and the purpose of the base was to house the Australian Army's engineers. But what these soldiers would do is they would take these giant bulldozers, it said, and with a huge chain, they would drag and rip down the vegetation that could be in the way as they were in that area. And it was done to deny, of course, the enemy any possibility of concealing things in that jungle. They wanted to remove any camouflage that might be used to cover up the evil. Growth is impossible without us having some pruning done and some weed eating done of diseased wood. Yes, I know that our spiritual growth ultimately comes from the inside out. As the Holy Spirit works in you and you know who you are in Christ and the Spirit transforms you, you know, you get in His Word and you know who you are in Christ. But that's true, but it's kind of like a wound. A wound has to have the surface cleaned regularly and kept clean until the scab forms, and the healing is taking place from the inside out, but that cleaning is important too of the wound. Our job, as Peter says here, is to put off these old ways as we're seeking and craving the pure truths of grace in God's Word. God's job, of course, is He's bringing the healing from the inside out in our thinking and attitudes so that we become like Jesus Christ. But as Dan Doriani said, what is growing in the garden, what God is growing in our lives, should give us the desire to do more and more weed eating so that we'll grow. And we're talking about the weed eating in our hearts. God, it's only by His power and grace that we can put off those old things. But we cooperate with Him in sanctification as the Spirit leads us and convicts us of these subtle attitudes that can destroy the community. That's really what he's emphasizing here. These attitudes that are anti God's love. He helps us see them. And we want to put them off by his power as we seek the new way. We seek the truths of His Word and knowing the grace and love that we have in Christ, so that then we'll grow in that love and those things will develop in the way that we live. Peter puts the focus here, of course, on sins that are destroying or could destroy the church community. Ones that the world can seem to think are acceptable, but are never true to be acceptable in God's church. He's focusing on things opposed to the life of love that are at the heart of the gospel and God's character. And he says, put these off as you're putting on the new life, as you're craving more of the pure milk of God's grace and His Word. The truth is, God saves us so we'll know that love more and more, be transformed by that love, and nourished by that love that's in Christ, of which He saved us through from the very beginning. But the reality is, these sins are subtle, and if we're going to be really nourished and really grow through God's Word, we're told to put them off. They're deep in our hearts. They are about attitudes, and easily and subtly can deceive us. But we have to ask God to help us as we're craving the pure milk of the Word, to see the motivations that are in our hearts, why we're doing what we're doing. That's what we're going to look at these in just a moment. But as we're craving the pure milk of His Word, to know His love, to know who we are in Christ, we've got to be doing that weed eating as well, asking Him to help us to see what's there. As I said, this is one long sentence in the Greek. Putting it off, craving the pure milk of the Word. And I remember reading brain research about how the brain forms patterns over time. And it's interesting that, they talk about how the patterns are hard to break and that type of thing. But it also said in the research that a lot of times people think that the brain is kind of like a container that you just fill up with more things, just let the bad habits be there and put in the new stuff. But actually, the brain research said no, the mind is more like valuable property where bad habits and patterns get ingrained. They take residence. And yes, we need those new patterns that we know come through the life of Christ, but it's also important that those old things are evicted. Those old ways are evicted. If we're going to grow in grace and love, they must be rejected. And this is what Peter's talking about. What does he say here? Put off malice. What's malice? A desire to harm others, which often hides behind apparently good actions towards a person. It's the general overarching word here for all of these other sinful vices. Put off malice. Number two, put off hypocrisy. That's, of course, insincerity. This is the kind of deceit in which people pretend to be different than what they really are. And you can see it in even churches sometimes, unfortunately. I know I have through the years at different times. We have a sense of sincerity and love here, but we always have to be guarded against that hypocrisy, that insincerity, when we act like one way, but then deep down we're motivated by selfish desires. What does he say? Put off envy as well, longing for what others have that leads to these other sins. It's the opposite of God's love, because it wants to grasp instead of give. Envy involves not seeing all the love and grace that we have in Christ and wanting to get what others have, or wanting to take it away from them so that they can't have it. There's subtle attitudes that have to be put off as we crave the pure milk of God's Word. Put off deceit. That's the other one. A deliberate attempt to mislead another person by telling lies. Somebody said, for some, the truth is any statement that gets them what they want, and a lie is any statement that keeps them from getting what they want. Put off slander. Finally, running other people down, of course, through our words that can be so subtle, and people, as even Christians, sometimes accept this and think that it's a sin that's okay, or everybody does it, but it's not. See, malice, that general idea of ill will towards others, and hypocrisy and envy, I believe there's a point here, they lead to these two last sins that Peter mentions, deceit and slander. Why? Because if a person is not being motivated by God's love and grace in Christ, craving the pure milk of the Word, growing in confidence in that love, but they're playing games instead as a hypocrite, being fake, well, then they're not going to be transformed in love to see people the right way. Instead, they're going to see them wrongly. They don't see what God's grace is doing in their life. No, instead, they start looking out in envy at others. They want to take away what they have. And then they'll lash out in slander and gossip and tear them down. The question is, or somebody say, I'll say this first. For some people, words are tools they deploy to fulfill their goals and desires. And that's a good quote. What's beneath the surface? What is motivating us? Why are we saying the things we're saying? Why are we not saying the things we should be saying as a Christian if we're growing? The point is, a heart not motivated by God's grace and growing in that is not only affecting attitudes, but it'll affect actions. And many times it'll be through words. Peter's making the point. We subtly do that. We're talking here about growing in grace, aren't we? Through His Word. Knowing the truth of the grace we've been given. Growing in that. Putting off these old ways that are the opposite of that grace and love. And these truths, as we grow in them, they help build up not only us growing individually, but us growing together. Us growing in our relationships, in our marriage, our future marriage. Us growing together in our friendships as Christians. So this is essential. What's at the heart of what's going on within us? Real growth is going to show up in words that are building others up, flowing from that growing experience of God's love, as we're willing to tell people difficult things gently, and we shun boasting and flattery and these wrongly motivated attitudes that go into actions, because we're growing in the love of God and in His grace. And it affects the way that we live. We become more like Jesus Christ. More and more in our thinking and our attitudes. Not just in a negative sense of we're not doing these things, but in a positive sense of we're doing the right things. Jesus working through us. Changing us from glory to glory. Making us into who He wants us to be. And Peter is saying, if you've been given new birth into this life of God's love, you're going to grow. But think about it. How much good would it be for me to go down to body care, join up, and start going and doing a few workouts if I'm just going to keep eating whatever I've been eating? It'd be senseless, wouldn't it? But yet we'll do that a lot of times with when we come to God's Word. We will keep hanging on to these things. Pet sins. Subtle sins. And we think that somehow we're going to really grow through God's Word. But it's going to be a blockage to the flow of what God wants to do. So we've got to watch our diets. It's true with all of us, isn't it? All of us. We don't want to be so filled up. I think part of what he's saying, a good analogy is you know, always tell your kids, don't fill yourself up on lollies, you know, or these things are going to ruin your appetite. And these things that people get caught up in the world, these attitudes, they're kind of rich in a way, like lollies or rich foods. And Peter's almost kind of saying, don't ruin your appetite. Put these things off and find the truth. What'll really nourish you? You got to put off those old ways, those old attitudes. And that leads me to the third and final point. Not only the pursuit of God's Word, if you want to grow through it, and the pattern of God's Word, if we're going to grow through His Word, that's the person of God's Word. And that's who we find in God's Word as we grow. And we see it in verse 3, and it's so beautiful. Now that you've tasted that the Lord is good, He's gracious. We've tasted Him. See, the Word of the Lord constantly shows us the Lord of the Word. Do you get that? The Word of the Lord is there to show us the Lord of the Word, whom we experience. We walk in relationship in Christ, and we get to know Him, and we grow in confidence in Him. And coming to the Word is always about coming to the Lord. For a Christian, we've tasted and seen how good He is. And that's the full intention of God's Word, that we'll experience more and more who He is in all of His fullness. And that's true for us. He uses the indicative here of what's already true. That's what they call the indicative. And it's true, but therefore, out of that comes the way that we live. All these imperatives of putting off and seeking the Word of God are grounded in this indicative that is true. You have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. And you want to know Him, the person of the Word, the Lord of the Word, as we come to the Word of the Lord. God has poured out His love, as Romans says, in our hearts fully in Christ. And as we're growing and craving for His Word, we experience more and more of that love that ultimately transforms our relationships. That's what pushes out not having that desire for those old ways. That's what causes us to want to do the weed eating, is as we know that Lord in His Word more and more, and we're transformed. See, a lot of times people, they go, you know, keep talking about this dieting thing, but sometimes people are miserable in diets, right? Because they see the other people that aren't on diets, you know, eating things that seem to taste so good, but they're having to eat the things that don't taste very good. But if you really were able to, and I know it doesn't seem realistic to us, to really have a diet where you could eat things that really tasted good to you, well, then you just want to have those things. You have a taste for the things that really are the best. But that's what we have spiritually. We've tasted and seen how good and gracious our God is, the Lord God. And I remember the story of Tom Nelson, this pastor in America years ago, that I heard him tell of this businessman who sold fruit, you know. And he would go around selling the fruit. He had made a bunch of money doing this, and he would drive like a fancy car. And it was amazing. He did all this just selling fruit. But he said that what the guy would do was that, you know, when he would go around door to door, or businesses trying to sell the fruit, and as people were about ready to say no to it, he would take his knife and just slice a little bit off of that pear or whatever it was and put it in their mouth. And they got a taste, and suddenly he hooked them, you know. We've tasted the Lord, how good He is, and we want to know Him. You know, we need to celebrate it. That's one of the things we need to do. We need to stop and think and reflect at times of what God has done in our lives, how He's changed us, how we know Him, because that motivates us to get back in God's Word and to seek Him and to know Him more and more diligently. We've tasted and seen how good He is. We need to take the time to stop and reflect on that beauty of that relationship. So what are some practical things we can do as we finish? Number one, seek answers in God's Word. Now, that's not our main focus as we come to God's Word. I know it's to know the Lord. But as we start to seek answers in God's Word and we'll find those answers there, it cultivates a greater desire for us to get in the Word of God. As we see how it applies, as we remember it. I mean, that's one of the reasons I like to teach with some application, because even though what I'm saying in application is not going to cover all of the applications that God will give people, it helps you people start to see, okay, this is what the Word of God means for my life. Seek answers in God's Word, and then we grow to learn His truth and love His truth, and then we'll grow more and more to live His truth, which is the goal of the Bible. It's not just learning it, but loving it and living it. But it only comes as we, first of all, start to seek the answers to our questions in God's Word. And that's an essential thing we need to do. The second thing is to seek the absolute truth in God's Word. It's the pure milk. That's the word. It means absolute truth. And we come to God's Word knowing that truth. We have confidence, like Psalm 19 says, that His Word is truth to us. And we want that pure Word. We don't want other things to get in the way of it. We don't want things of this world. We remember that His Word is a pure truth. It is the truth, and it's free of additives. That's the point Peter is commending to them. It's the pure milk of the Word. And we want to seek that ultimate truth. Knowing His Word is trustworthy. And that leads me to the final thing. Seek avenues. A variety of avenues where we grow through God's Word so that it can be applied in our lives, and we can see the impact that grace is having to change us. And we can see that more and more. Then that cultivates our desire for it. As we taste and see more and more that the Lord is good, we can get it clear. When we get in God's Word, discover a truth, reflect on it. We need to write it down, think about how it applies, chew on it. I'm all for getting and reading through the whole Bible, as you should do that. But one of the things we also ought to do is meditate on the Scripture. Any of the great leaders throughout history will tell you how important it is to chew on God's Word, to take a little bit of it and think on it, reflect on it. What does it mean? But then, what does it mean for my life, Lord? What does it apply? How does it apply in the way I'm going to live? Chew on it. It takes time. One of the good things you can do is go through a book of the Bible that's a little bit shorter and just say, that's the thing I'm going to focus on the next month or two, and I'm going to chew on it. A good thing would be, of course, the series we're going through. But you could go through another book of the Bible as well, so we get it clear and we write down the truths and we ask God to show us what we need to do, and then get creative. Get God's Word in your system every day in a number of different ways. If you read it, listen to it, hear sermons, you know the idea. Get creative and get consistent. You want it to get into the everyday flow of your life, so the truth will be put into practice more and more, and so that we can see how God's grace is changing our lives, how it's being applied, so that we become more like our Savior, Jesus Christ, progressively, from step to step, stage to stage, as we move forward. So remember those things as we pursue God's Word. We know the pattern of God's Word, and most of all, the person of God's Word, the Lord. So let's turn to Him now as we close.